the battery keeps going.
Yeah, I'm good too, but...
It depends how much beer you have left.
Yeah, I was really surprised that actually that battery lasted that long. That fucking laptop's a piece of shit.
Listen, we can talk for hours as long as you guys got beer.
Man, I got beer.
This might be a two-parter. I may break it up into two parts.
No, fuck that.
You sure?
At least that shit.
Keep it running, man.
Okay. You'll find more beer.
Well, no, I'd release them at the same time. I'd just be like part one, part two.
Dude, the sequel?
If they got 10 hours of fucking Rick rolling, you know, in a row.
This is true.
Breaking it up seems like
editing. And it's got millions of views, you know, for 10 hours. It's just.
That means there's tens of millions of retarded people out there.
I know. That's why I say population control.
Anyway. Yeah, there you go.
That's the test. Are you going to watch the 10 hours of Rick rolling?
Will you watch 10 hours of us in this garage?
And you'll see people. This is great! Snip, snip.
You got nothing else, Xander?
I could talk all day. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk subject because we're just going super random right now.
Yeah.
There's no sense
of order. We got all these women like accusing people of stuff.
Oh, yeah, hashtag me too.
It's probably half true and half not.
Yeah.
I would say that. Yeah.
I would say so. Well, I think what really needs to be defined is we need to start getting this verbiage correct for like what's sexual assault? What's true. Like some petty
harassment.
Fucking, you know,
I don't know.
Flirting.
I could do hashtag me too. You know, because like seriously, like big black women,
he's like their kryptonite.
They want to eat me. I was working at Bimbo Bread. And this black woman come up to me.
Is that a real bread company?
It's a real bread company. It's a real bread company.
Sorry, Bimbo Bread.
Shit.
And this black woman, she's...
They're a sponsor.
She just flat out came up to me and says, oh, man, me and you can make some good fucking Oreo children. You know, and it's just like... And then, they
you're too lying to any guy. That's not going to work.
or they want to eat me alive. And, you know, I'm not, like, the greatest looking guy in the physically fit, but it just blows my mind. It's
I think
always
you're
big,
blue-eyed devil.
Black women. And they always talk about eating me or...
Have
like,
you ever jumped into that pool?
No.
No?
Listen,
married too fucking long.
I got two kids, and that's enough. The world... Mm-hmm. That's enough.
I'm not saying make the babies. I'm just saying taste the chocolate.
Well, I don't know if that's...
I got a thing. There's this Jack's Big Musical. There was this black girl with, like, these green eyes, and I love her, man. Like, the kids would watch the show in the morning, and I would just be like, all right, I need to go to the bathroom. Beautiful, like she was like from Ireland too, man. Just
black Irish blackman.
No,
a black Irishman.
You just don't like the big, aggressive ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that into the...
I used to like Lisa Turtle, Saved by the Bell. Come on.
Oh, yeah, no. Way better.
Yeah,
way
I mean
better.
That was everybody in our age, like first black girl
Lisa
crush
Turtle.
For sure. Before there was Beyonce, there was Lisa Turtle.
There was Lisa Turtle. But now her face is all jacked up.
I was working at an old folks home, man, putting in a light for a freaking flag. And like these old people are out there like it was hot and they're like, ooh, you need to take off your shirt. You know, they say this stuff that, like it's all about women, but also women are the same token. And this one old lady that had to be 70 years old wanted to see my dick. And then she called me a pussy because I didn't let her see my dick. I mean, this is like 9 in the morning
listen,
in an old folks home.
We're going through a cycle right now in society where women are like innocent little...
I understand
little...
the respect thing.
Well, there is, but women are innocent little protected class right now where it's like... We're just, it's every fucking generation has its stupid cycle where it goes through that it has this dumb stuff. Now, with the sexual abuse stuff going on in the media, half of it's true, half of it's not. You got a bunch of fucking people coming out for a payday. And then you got a bunch of people who are like, there's a bunch of rampant sketchy shit going on with the power elites and the fucking,
it's always been going on.
People got the balls to come out and they're going to hang a bunch of people, you know, in town square.
But Louis C.K. is a different story. I mean,
he just like to jerk off in front of women, that's all.
But he would ask.
He was polite about it. Can I rub one out in front of you?
They had the option to leave the room.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, that's a weird fucking... Can I rub one out?
Weird
in front
of you? But that's what I'm saying with the verbiage. Like, if you didn't touch her.
Yeah.
Not if you block the door and, like, you're going to watch me fucking jerk off. You ain't going to do shit about it. If right. you do, I'm going to fucking smack you up.
Yeah.
That's a different story. But if he's just but like.
It was like the alpha.
I would just laugh but if he like came and broke out his dick in front of me. I'm like, oh, that guy ain't raping anybody.
But it was like the Al Franken thing. I thought it was funny, right? Okay.
Actually, he's a pretty big dude.
And I'm thinking to myself going, okay, he did this goofy thing with this girl on this picture, blah, blah, blah. And for the most part, I'm going, man, we did worse stuff when we were younger, you know, kind of shit like that. But, I like that it's coming back to bite Al Franken in the ass because he's a fucking clown. He sat there and spouted his mouth off about, oh, I'm so for the women's and I've never did anything and acted this Puritan.
But then you got Trump sitting there saying, bashing Al Franken when he's talking about grabbing women by the pussy and forcing a kiss of and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't have it two ways.
I'm not talking about Trump. I'm just talking like Al Franken. And
so all Al politicians Franken are scumbags. Check.
All of them. Yeah, I'm just saying
except
this.
Except when Matt runs for office.
I like the fact that it came back to bite Al Franken in the ass because he acted like he was some Puritan asshole and he's far from it. Don't. If you're a jackwad, yeah, I was a fucking dickhead. I was a fucking wanker. I was this, I was that. Okay, whatever. Own up to it and move on.
You know what? He's good enough. He's smart enough.
People like
him. If people like him.
Oh, every fucking liberal loves him. Because they saw him on Saturday Night Live and he's a fucking senator.
I don't know.
Matt Stone
like
had the greatest quote the other day. He says, I hate conservatives, but I fucking hate liberals.
I hate them all, yeah.
That's why the people
it's
ask
a hate
me
podcast.
My political views. I tell them I'm a right-wing liberal atheist. Take it how it is.
Exactly.
Can we all agree that shining the spotlight on that issue, if it prevents people from being victimized in the future, it's a good thing?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, it is. Sure. Because I think that whole house needs to be cleaned for a long
it's
time.
It's like anything, people are going to take advantage, but just like anything else, there's a lot of real victims.
Yeah.
Listen, people who...
But then, like, you got people in the porn industry. This is, like, I was reading an article. This girl, like, was bitching about, like, well, the camera was supposed to be set up at this angle, and they changed the camera
angle. Oh, fuck.
I mean, that's going a little extreme.
Like, if
I
you
mean,
signed
like,
a release to get fucked on camera,
yeah.
I think there's
if you're taking two dicks in your ass at once.
I have no problem with that. I watched
this. Listen, I didn't sign up for three, and all of a sudden, this other guy came in.
Let's just stop with it.
That's a different story.
Let's throw it to the side. But what I'm saying is people who are, like, who want to be in power, they want to exercise power over anybody they can. That's why they move up the ranks.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the normal human being is like, I just want to be left the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. And they're not looking to, like, overpower people or whatever.
Like, okay, like, even in China, like, I would sit there, like, I didn't know any better. Like, I would just, like, bow. And they're like, no, you don't do that. And, like, the women would give us food and stuff like that. We weren't allowed to give tips because if we gave a tip, it'd be degrading. You know,
and then if
you gave a tip, like, these people get highly offensive, you know, because you're not
allowed. China has it right. Quit fucking tipping.
Come on.
I mean, even before, like, the Ayatollah and stuff like that, you know, these women would go around, they never wore burqas or none of that crap, and then, I mean, if you look at these images of, like, Afghanistan before, like, the Muslims came in power, like, these people were, like...
freewheeling society.
They were like hippies almost. In the 60s, you look at Tehran,
and then,
like,
all
of a sudden, the 70s, like, religion came into the picture, and all of a sudden, these women are being beaten and
abused. The Muslim Revolution.
And, stuff like that.
I mean, just with the sexual assaults around here, I think... I mean, anyone who's thinking that it's more of a sexual thing than a power thing is wrong, because it's really just a power...
It is a power thing.
Just a power trip,
man. It's these people who... Like,
people
look at
like
Harvey Weinstein. I am glad that fat, skeezy fucking shithead is being knocked off his throne. He probably actually, his movies suck, number one. And number two,
they sell, though.
He's one of those assholes who thinks he's high and mighty, he thinks he's fucking righteous, and he was telling other people what they should think, what they shouldn't think, and in the meantime, he's telling them, well, if you let me fucking wag my wiener around you or
you
fucking slap you in the face, you have a job. Fuck you, man. Go burn in flames. But it wasn't a sexual thing. He's a pathetic asshole who can't get a real woman in real life.
It's part
because
sexual, I'm sure, but it's,
well, it's
mostly
part sexual.
Power.
But he's an ugly, fat fuck who can't get a woman in real life, right? Yeah. Okay, but
even
he has
with
power.
Money.
So he uses his power to fulfill his...
But the crazy thing
desire.
Is he's got a wife that's hot.
No, he can get any woman he wants with that money,
well,
like
because,
most women.
Well, of course.
Not most women, but most women who are like that.
Probably not.
But he just gets off on those.
Man, I watched a nice documentary on sugar daddies, and like these women would go out, and it's like they would just purposely do this stuff, you know, to have pay their college and everything.
Right.
Good for them.
Yeah, I'm
cool. Good for them.
If they're cool with it, I'm fucking cool with it.
You know what?
Man.
She wants to be a doctor.
If they're cool with it, it's not a victimless. It's a victimless crime if they're cool with it. To me,
I don't know.
It's not some societal systematic thing. It's just it's one of the oldest professions in the book, right? Is it not?
And on the topic of history, no one should be surprised by this sexual assault in Hollywood.
No,
everybody.
Since
the
dawn of time,
how many people said like, "I heard rumors. I heard this and that."
The casting couch.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, everybody.
Oh, that's empty. What? It just fell over.
Uh-oh.
We're in trouble.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
I don't know. It's just, I never treated a woman.
We're absolutely still recording. Is that going to be a copyright infringement?
No, I'm just dying.
There's a lot of empty chairs. Everybody had to pee.
No, that's fine. That's fine. With the sexual. And it's, but that's also a problem. How do you solve it? Because it's going to be like when we go in and we take over this country and then we put this other person in their place, or we don't, there's this power vacuum and shit just goes corrupt fucking like that. Like the next fucking Harvey Weinstein is just going to fucking take over. So how do we prevent that? Is it just that everybody has such more of a platform these days that they can actually, they feel comfortable that they won't get blackballed in the industry or what have you, that they can come out against these assholes that are doing this shit?
Yeah, social media has given people a voice without making them a target. So they can speak, they can garner support from other people who have been victimized without, you know, risking as much of being outcast, I think.
Yeah. And to put it crudely, I think the real reason why, yes, men get sexually assaulted too, but why it's really a more serious problem with women is because nine times out of ten, if you look at it, if we wanted to fuck them, we could, like, physically overpower them and do it.
Yeah.
Nine times out of ten. Like, I mean, you're not doing that to Ronda Rousey. She'll probably beat your face in. But she'll probably rip your fucking arm off. But the average smaller woman, I mean, you know, there's several different things that classify males and females that are very different. You know,
biological characteristics.
Lots of, biological characteristics. Thank you for putting the verbiage in my head. Appreciate that. I'm very bad at that. But, yeah. I mean, I think that's the underlying thing. Like, that's why we got to... Well, because really, I mean, have you ever felt really like backed in the corner threatened by a woman? And if you have, then
Brian
maybe you
have. Did by the big buck.
But you could have gotten away from that situation if she tried to fuck you.
I did one time. She was like a fucking gorilla, man. Jesus Christ.
It was literally a gorilla.
She was literally like 6'3", man.
But if you wanted to get away, you could have, right?
And the worst part
was. You could have palmed her in the fucking nose, right?
The worst part was the guy was like, man, I've been working here 10 years and ain't nobody propositioned me. He was all sad about it.
Right. How about how many fucking times you see hot fucking teachers sleeping with fucking 16 and 17 year olds? How come that wasn't around when we were fucking kids, man?
I don't know.
Kids,
oh, it was. Hey, we just weren't pissing and whining about it.
I tried so hard, dude. Right. I tried so hard.
We're all going, you fucked the hot teacher? Yeah, excellent! Dude. You know, I mean,
going to that class, be like,
I tried with Mrs. Palazzotto. I took German class.
She was cute.
And I flunked out of German. And
I asked her, I'm flunking. Is there anything I can do?
I took French the
is
next
year. Is there after school shit we can do or something?
I took French.
After hours.
I took French the next year. And I flunked out of that. And she was like, well, I guess I don't have to put up with you next year since you flunked out of both languages. And then I had her for study hall and she was pregnant. And I still tried.
That's classic. Yeah,
I don't know, shame.
I see
Mrs. Wanger. Oh my
hey,
God.
Hey, we gotta be soft on that, so she might actually listen to this. I fucking love her to death. And I know you do too. Yeah, she's a very
love her to death.
Hey, it's Ruth Lavery these days. It's Ruth Lavery.
I see these things with these boys who are like
another.
Like,
yeah, we can call her Ruth now because we're adults. I remember fifth grade class.
I'm like, there is no.
I know we went to her house at one time.
Yeah, for the pool party.
Yeah, no, she looked like a whore.
I mean, she invited the kids to the pool party.
Different story there, but you know.
Props you, Miss Wanger. Hope you still rock.
Ruth Lavery, you're the shit.
If the Barnes was propositioning you, you'd be like,
oh no.
I can get away from the Barnes. I can run.
Dude,
shit.
Dude, I remember playing. What was that? Oregon Trail, and she would come over and just freaking sing like
Brian
Morpheus.
I gotta do this right now. Sorry. You know one of the Peggy Barnes stories where, like, I knew she was our computer teacher, and then, like, this one day, we just called a taxi and randomly got picked up by a person. It was Peggy Barnes. Yes. And I told you that story? Yes. Morphus was the dude with me. You remember that shit? We were getting picked up from the Centennial, is it Centennial Park in Valpo? We got picked up by a cab. We were underage. We were actually calling on a payphone. We were calling 1-800 numbers.
She was just looking for young boys at the
phone. There was this callback number that you would call this 1-800 number. It was like a sex line. And we were on a fucking park payphone. Hang up, they'd call back, and we would just fucking be talking to dude doing sex acts. I mean, not doing sex acts, but like
sex fucking with Peggy Barnes.
But I'm telling you, we had to call a cab.
Like a barnyard fucking feature.
Morphus, you don't remember this? We had to call a cab. It was definitely you with me, and we got in the cab. It was none other than Peggy motherfucking Barnes, dude.
We probably really fucked up.
We probably had just discovered weed or something, man. We were just all high in the park or something. I don't know what the fuck we were doing.
You know, in a lot of ways, you know,
we were at a house, probably.
For as much shit as, like, you know, we get the Barnes. I guess who was...
She's a nice lady.
When I was talking to somebody...
She smelled like
well, yeah. She let herself go, like, really downhill, I guess, before...
I don't know. I never knew where she was uphill.
I don't know her. I didn't know her from beforehand or whatever. I don't know if it was, like, her husband died or something.
She's bigger than that fucking Corolla.
You know, I don't know if it was like her husband died or something like that. Like, she was actually like normal sized person, like, you know,
really
all proper stuff like that. And like it was either like
her
husband died or something like that, and she ended up like after that, like just turning into the fucking
little Debbie's alcohol.
You know exactly.
That is probably what it was.
Yeah, and so she went like completely full fucking, you know, Graf Zeppelin bullshit on everybody and turned into the human hamburger and. You know,
that was definitely me and you though, Morphus. We must have been hanging out like maybe what was that one kid's fucking house in Valpo right there that we used to fucking hang out once in a while?
Tony Garza?
Maybe we were at his fucking house. We left there and it was definitely Peggy Barnes that picked us up in the taxi.
Tony Garcia.
That's fucking
she had the funk.
For real though, she was always nice and rest in peace. You know she's
she
passed,
was
right?
Nice, but man, she was just.
We should add.
Attack, probably.
Can we add? Hey, Jake, for an apple, I know you're still listening.
Jake, you're a little shit.
Jake, can you add Brian Morphus to Barn Spotters on Facebook? It's a group we have. Barn Spotters.
We even have a poster.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you pull a picture of Morphus and put another character?
I'll put another character on the poster.
Yeah, man.
Oh God. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Peggy.
Yeah.
You taught me how to play Oregon Trail and Odell Lake.
You weren't a bad person, but Jesus Christ.
You taught me don't try to eat powder.
You gave us many a laughs.
Or nightmares,
yeah. Like I said, I don't think she was a bad person. I just... Man. She was somebody who let herself get consumed in more ways than one.
I don't know about if she got consumed, but she definitely consumed a lot of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, also, you don't know this, that she used to work at fucking Taco Bell with these guys.
No, I know. I worked there.
I'm saying Brian Morphus doesn't know. At that Valpo Taco Bell, he used to work with, like, him and Jake and Beal. Peggy Barnes.
So there was this, like drive-through belt. Like, they would put this belt on, and there was this little battery pack with a thing you would push the button to speak into it. Yeah, right? Well,
I did my career at McDonald's.
We've all been through a drive-thru.
Right. Well, this belt got big, man. I mean, you could lasso a fucking horse with it, you know, type of thing. But she was so big, she had to, like, sling it around her fucking neck because it wouldn't go around her goddamn waist because she was so goddamn big, man. And Jake would just be like... Gee, holy shit. Yeah. Look at that shit. She can't, you know, I mean,
no, Jake,
you know,
was an asshole. Jake,
man. He was brutal to her. He was brutal. And I thought I was like a fucking mean son of a bitch sometimes.
And you met Jake.
And Jake, especially when it came to her, I don't know why. Nothing against you, Jake, because I laughed as much as you did.
Oh,
so
we all love Jake.
Yeah, and I laughed at all the shit, but he just fucking would just... He was brutal with her, man.
Real quick, two months ago today, I met up with Jake in Atlanta, Georgia. We were driving to South Carolina, and we stopped at this gas station to get gas. and right down at the exit was Barnesville. And we talked to this service station. We were this 20-year-old girl. We were quizzing her about Barnesville, and she got all snooty. She's like, "There's a college there, but I don't go there to Barnesville." It was really funny.
It's like nobody understood. Nobody understood. It was like one of those things. Yeah.
It was the mayor of Barnesville.
Jake wanted me to drive 20 miles to Barnesville just so he could check in on Facebook. Exactly. I'm like, dude, come on. We need to get to the beach.
That's Jake. That's Jake. I appreciate that kind of stuff, though.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I remember he sent me that fucking train spotting poster, and he's like, "Can you do something with this?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm at work right now." And then I'm like,
"So yeah, I got plenty."
And then
of time.
I'm like, "Oh, I'm at work. I can fuck around with anything." And I started doing it. They put all our faces on all the people and turned it all into stuff like that. Yeah, that was fucking great.
Anyway, Peggy Barnes, for any random listener,
rest her soul,
is first in my life, elementary computer teacher.
Same here.
Which was essentially maybe a bit of word processing and playing Odell Lake and Oregon Trail.
I don't remember Odell. I just remember Oregon
and then
Trail.
She fell off from her teaching
gig. Died of dysentery.
Yeah. The only part fun was hunting. It's like going out and killing random with
rabbits,
with little white dots.
Maybe once in a while you got a deer.
Once in a while. And a bear once in a while, too. And then after that, she was a Taco Bell employee with Mike, the other co-host. And Jake will eventually be on, and Beal, who was on the first podcast.
I almost feel
And then
bad
the random taxi ride. Sense. She was also a taxi driver.
I almost feel bad.
Definitely Peggy Barnes, Brian.
I was a fucking dick to her. Knock, knock.
Sorry.
We should go up to Canada and go hunting bear.
I'm good.
Just love Canada.
Just to try it.
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I guess bear could
kill me. Oh, no. We were just talking about bear the other day and how great it was to eat. I've had bear.
We'll fly up there. We'll take a couple 50 cals up there with us. And
Wonder how bad the fucking eagles are killing the bears right now.
Eagles are awesome. I like going ice fishing up north because then the eagles like all like swoop around and you throw fish at them and they like fucking take all your like shitty fish that you pull out of the thing. It's like you're like, "Oh, I got a 6-inch perch here," and then the eagle comes swoops down and fucking takes your perch.
I love Canada. I see your plate right there.
Northwest Territories. Yeah.
I got 3 provinces left up there.
I'm going
you
to.
You should blur that out for the podcast.
I'm going to ride up to Alaska one of these days on the motorcycle.
Hit me up. I'll go.
Plane.
I want to go. Like, we were talking Alaska the other night.
From Arizona.
I got.
Because I want to do where I go. I ride up through Canada, come up through, and then I'll come back. Actually, take the ferry.
I'll drive behind you in a nice heated car with that massages me.
We would go in August. A third of the miles from my KTM are from an Alaska trip, so I want to go again.
Excellent. Okay. I'll hit you up, man. Yeah, seriously.
I'd be willing to do that too.
I keep talking to my wife. She's like, "Why don't you just fucking do it then? You know, if you always want to go up there." And I'm like, "No, I don't just want to go up there. I want to ride up there."
Do it, man. I got my passport. I'm ready to rock.
You got a motorcycle?
No, but I got a car. It's heated.
Oh, you got an iron cage.
That's okay. I like seatbelts. You don't want me, like, I have a need for speed, but my thing is, like, I like seatbelts.
Well, then I'll throw a spare tire in the back of your car.
He could be our equipment.
I could throw tools.
We could do like, you ever see Long Way Around? Yeah. I love that fucking thing, man. That was like one of the things I remember when it came out. I kept watching it and I'm like, "Boy, this is fuck." I would so love to do that. I remember they're going through like Mongolia, you know, and they're like going through all these like mud trails and stuff like that. And I'm thinking most people would be sitting here looking at this going, "That's got to be terrible." And I'm like going,
"It's probably the best time of your life."
I would so love to do that right now, man. God damn. I love that kind of shit.
Podcasts bringing people together who don't usually hang out. For an Alaska trip.
Arizona, you know? I mean, shit. No, seriously, I'll hit you up for the Alaska trip, man.
I want to go to Alaska, man.
Well, then
you can
follow behind
Wally Wally and all that up there.
I keep wanting to do the motorcycle ride up there.
I don't want to hit them big towns like Anchorage. I want to go to them freaking little itty bitty towns. And
White Horse.
And yeah.
Yellowknife.
Yellowknife's the Northwest Territories.
I want to be up there for the Northern Lights, you know, where freaking the sun never sets during certain times.
Or go all the way up to Prudhoe Bay.
Dark
up there on the fucking North Slope. Yeah. You have to do that in the summertime because you ain't getting up there in the winter.
Not for a snowmobile.
Well, I could fly up there. Could rent an airplane. Go take off, go fly up there.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Is that Best Ballast Point, isn't it? Is that grapefruit sculpin?
Fucking weird one.
Ballast Point, dude. I was at that brewery.
Yeah.
Which is wicked.
Great for sculpins. Good.
I've been at that brewery.
Yeah? Cool yeah. brewery?
I'm going there next year.
Ballast Point. It's Indra Conundra. Conundra. It's fucking weird, guys. You guys like Thai food?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
You might like this beer.
Oh, that's got that spice in it, whatever you had last time.
It's a
spice cayenne. Universe.
It's a Ballast Point. I can't pronounce that name. Limited released India style export stout. Stout with Madras curry, cumin, cayenne, coconut, and kefir. Or kefir lime? Kefir lime? No, it's not like the kefir, like yogurt fucking milk shit.
Kefir something.
It's like K-A-F-F-I-R. Lime.
Kefir?
Kiefer lime, maybe? Who fucking gives
a
shit?
Let's
try it.
Let's drink that shit. Shut the fuck up. Let's drink it.
All I kept thinking when he laughed, I was like, I hope he's getting more beer.
Took a very long piss, and then I was like, oh, we got that other beer.
Like I said,
that sounded like shit.
I'll message you and catch up on that.
Whoa, wait a minute. I got four states left, and Alaska's one of them.
Well, that's one of my states left, too. That's Hawaii
I got Alaska, Hawaii, Maine, and Wyoming. And then I've seen all 50.
Nice. Actually, I have a buddy who lives in
Wyoming. I've been to Puerto Rico, too, so I got the
51. He just moved out there to Wyoming. He just got a job.
I got three provinces left in Canada.
Okay.
I got about three more countries left in North America.
I do want to hit Newfoundland up, like the East Coast.
Not Newfoundland.
Did you say three more countries left in North America?
It's provinces, but yeah, Newfoundland.
Well, they say three more countries left in North America?
Yeah, that's all three.
What?
We caught that. Three more countries in North America?
Yeah.
What do you mean, dude?
You got like Guatemala. You got
Central. That's Central.
That's Central.
It's not still its North continent. America.
Central America.
Panama is it's North Central. America.
We passing down.
Oh, no, I don't know. I thought we were all going to keep their same glasses, but whatever.
We're sharing cooties.
Actually, we're playing Alaska trips. You better be ready to bomb.
That all is considered North America.
I consider it Panama Canal North America.
Oh, man.
Fucking weird, huh?
You guys are about to get your mind blown. Tastes like a cinnamon factory.
It's like a cinnamon explosion in your mouth.
Look at that unfiltered shit.
Whoa. Yeah, you're going to get the brunt of that, Marcus.
All
right. Me too, though.
I actually like that because it's got like a lot of that's a terrible taste of sense and smell. That actually.
Listen, we're getting to the bottom of the barrel here.
Woo!
Like they need any more promotion.
This is one of the more unique beers I've ever tried.
Yeah, weird, huh?
I like Ballast Point.
Hey, guess what, guys? You're all gonna have heartburn. Sorry.
I'll bring you back some Ballast Point in April. Cool. I'm going out there, so.
Are you?
Yeah. For work.
You flying?
Yeah, on a commercial
San Diego?
Oh, you bitch.
Try Strauss.
Go to Seal
I've been
Beach.
To Strauss. The wife and I went to Carl Strauss the one night. We got on the little, we wanted to pass on the little metro thing, right? So we're zooming around San Diego, and we're like, oh, there's a brewery here, Carl Strauss. Now, my wife doesn't drink, like, stouts or anything like that.
But she tried the one with the Ethiopian coffee beans. And that's one of the best beers I've ever had.
She goes there, she gets this bomber of this shit, and here's my wife. She's like sitting there drinking this thing up, and she's like, this is so good. And I'm
so
just like,
good.
It is good. I'm like, yeah, that was one of the best things out there.
I had that with shrimp and grits there. Oh,
nice.
What is this?
Strauss, Carl Strauss.
Carl Strauss Brewery in San Diego.
Downtown. It's from 1989.
Well, I never went there. I hung out down at Seal Beach when I was there.
Okay, yeah, there's the Gas Lamp District and, you know, Gaslight and all that stuff like that. But, yeah, this is like a little bit, if you take the, it's just right on the edge of downtown up on that northwest side of San Diego.
It's four blocks from the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Oh,
I used to stay right next to it. 500 West Broadway is a hostel, and it turned into a hotel. Nice. It used to be a YMCA.
I partied down there.
I went to the aircraft carrier, too, because we were just wanted to dink around on it. That was cool, actually, too.
We would go down to Seal Beach all the time right there. Yeah. And like,
I was staying at the Marina and Regatta right there on the fucking harbor or whatever.
I worked at that, God damn it, what was that prison there?
Are you moving prisons overseas,
dude? No.
Are you sure you weren't in it?
He was shut down.
No, I was in it.
No.
Oh, never mind.
No, in it.
You were working in it?
No, it was like,
I didn't get a DOC number.
Okay.
But like everybody there, you know, they were like, oh man, you got to go down to Seal Beach. You got to go down to Seal Beach. Because like the carrier's there and then you're like.
Well, they were trying to escape.
Take me with you.
God what the fuck was it? Terminal Island. Terminal Island's like north of freaking San Diego right there between LA and all that stuff. We were staying right there at a hotel, right like literally right across from the carrier, like you were saying. And man, I had a great fucking time, dude. The best fucking food. Like, I would go down there and these Chinese guys, because they had the famous Japanese, like on that Terminal Island, they would have the Japanese shrimp boats.
Is this like a surprise guest that's pulling in?
Surprise guest is Ricky Wolftown. Dude named Ricky Wolftown.
No, when we go there, we're gonna stay there, and I think we're gonna get a motorcycle because I'm not gonna be trailering mine out.
Hit up the west coast.
Get a motorcycle and go right up the coast, all up to San Francisco, and then fly back from there. Yeah.
Gorgeous dream trip.
We're gonna get a Goldwing and just, you know, because I got the wife with me, so I gotta have something. She's gonna be comfortable on, or else I gotta listen to her whine the whole time. Because
take that scooter,
you know. If I get the ST for that many miles,
take the scooter.
Your scooter. It's her scooter, not mine. Yeah. No, I think we're gonna go all the way to San Francisco and then fly back from San Francisco.
A lot of places to rent bikes.
So I gotta ask, since you're from Arizona, do you like not do these podcasts that often because you have to come in at a time?
I grew up 5 miles from here. Okay. US 30.
Did you go to Wheeler High School?
Yeah.
Okay. My wife Tina didn't.
His hair was a lot more blonder.
Yeah.
It was blonder back then.
Mike said I was looking forward to this, and I was, because I never come back here, so I listened. Yeah. Niece's birthday, mom's birthday, Thanksgiving. But yeah, I was looking forward to this.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So he does these podcasts normally without you.
Yeah,
it's usually just
him and him.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we sit Mike there. And then Bill joins us for Bear stuff. But
can we just come and get drunk and join your podcast? Me and Brian over here.
Yeah, but usually they talk about the Bears.
We're so laid back about stuff. We're just like whatever.
We'll be guest celebrities.
There's no taboo on this podcast, and there's him and I are both just at the point where we're like,
fuck it.
We're going to share the shit out of this.
It doesn't matter whether you agree with us or disagree with us or whatever it is. It's cool. If you want to come here, drink beer, and just bullshit.
Welcome,
it's
gentlemen.
Cool. It was nice meeting you guys.
Yeah, yeah. So my wife asked me what I did all morning. I'd be like, go on YouTube. Yeah. You can watch the
video. Look up Mike's with
I was literally just drunk all morning.
It's well documented.
You'll see a bunch of guys talking for a long time.
She's going to ask me what I do all morning. I'll be like,
see, I knew I should have went to Michigan because like, I'm like 8 miles from Michigan. I knew I should have grabbed some more
beer. It's like my wife. She's like, what are you guys doing? And I said, she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I said, well, just watch this. And she's like,
She's like, go do what
you're gonna do. She's like, I don't even want to be bothered.
No,
with
the
this
best
anymore.
Is my wife.
You're invited ease, though.
Exactly. I'm not out screwing some, you know, $5 hooker at the fucking iron skillet up there or something.
That was her
famous iron skillet.
No, it wasn't. But she was just like curious. She's like, what are you guys doing? And she was like, oh God, this is terrible. You know, she's like, whatever. She's like, just do what you want.
Well, that's okay. Me and my buddy, we would always get drunk, just smoke cigs in his car. And she'd be like, what the hell do you guys sit up there and talk about for 3 hours? I'm like, celebrities, horror movies, random bullshit, like whatever.
I mean, that's really what it is. You know, I think too many people take their podcast seriously. And I think that's one nice thing with Mike and I is we're just like,
that's not an issue.
Whatever. Whatever. If you want to watch it. You know, and if people like it, fine. Fuck it. Let them watch it. And if they are entertained by it, cool. That's cool. If you don't like it and you don't like what we have to say, well, who gives a shit?
We're still getting drunk either way.
It's an excuse for guys to hang out.
Pretty much.
Even if girls want to join and give their 2 cents, this is not a
sex. Listen, I don't want to
invite
my sexist podcast.
By any
stretch of the means. You don't want his wife.
Yeah. Or your wife. Come on.
It's just about having a good time, really. Too.
I know.
And for some reason, people like to watch vicariously, like other people. I don't. I don't get it, but they do.
What up?
Hi. We got Ricky Wolftown here. Ricky Wolftown. I don't know if I have another chair.
No, you're good, man. I'm not trying to get into it. I'm just.
You're more than welcome to. There's a whole right fucking now, party going on. Part
his actual name's Enrique Villalobos. But since I know a little bit of Spanish, I'm going to call him Ricky.
We thought he was bringing beer.
Sorry to disappoint.
Man, should have made that part. Should have made that part of the ticket deal. Case of beer.
Well, luckily you guys aren't watching that fucking horrible
thing. Are the Bears getting killed?
What's the score? What's the score?
Ooh, this is a spicy.
Is it like 36?
24-0.
Oh, 24-0. Excellent.
Oh my God, it's spicy.
Good.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but
it's like a taco with a beer.
They're going against the best team in the NFL.
It doesn't matter. It's the fucking Bears.
I just wanted to know how bad the ass pounding was.
Started off good, man.
Did they use lube or did they not? You know,
I'm gonna have an ass pounding after this beer. This is.
Yeah, you are.
This is yes, the biggest are. Spicy. It's like a taco and a beer. This is not good.
This was the joke of the podcast. This beer, by the way.
This beer is not good. I'm sorry. If you got it for free, it was great.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's weird. You want to try it?
No.
You like Indian food?
No.
You would not like it.
I like spicy. Anyway,
so you kind of like it, yeah.
It's just a little spicy.
I go to the Indian restaurant when I get a chance, so.
I like it. I just make sure I'm near a toilet.
Well, that's the thing. I go there and I go straight home, so I know I got my throne. You know,
yeah, you still thing. Got a 2-hour drive, buddy.
Yeah, I'm good.
Got a 3-hour flight.
Well, you got a 10-hour flight once you get to customs.
You got an almost 2-hour drive, probably, because everyone else is be doing the same thing you are. And
yeah, you're gonna be in the car.
Yeah, Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
You're gonna be fighting for the
20-hour flight.
You got one of those speedy things where you go right through?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on the
that
toilet.
That was one
though.
Of the best things I ever bought, man. It was just like have that security check and then just go right through customs, right through all that
oh,
shit.
Oh, I thought you meant on the iPass.
No. I'm talking to the airport.
I don't have that. I refuse to pay the government for a fucking a quick check thing at the fucking TSA.
I'm sorry. No, when you fly like
when
fucking
you fly
30,
enough,
40
it's
times
worth it.
A year,
I do.
I mean, like, shit.
Oh, wait. I fly myself usually.
That's right. Oh, Mr.
Listen,
Tyler,
we don't
dude.
All have a plane.
He can go from
hey, whatever,
Chicago
man.
To Cleveland.
If
watch out.
$500, I can go to LaPorte and get my pilot's license. Go through a little bit of training.
For $500?
Yeah. I don't want you.
Damn, you got a deal compared to me.
My old man started doing it for a while, and then we had these grand visions of buying this fucking plane. I was
I
like,
think
well,
you can only fly in LaPorte with that license.
That's yeah. Around it. Yeah.
It's nice a select area.
Just one of those little planes, so it's like it looks like a fucking.
I know. Contact.
Oh yeah. one of those ultralights that has the fucking paraglider wing on,
right.
Or whatever.
With the Volkswagen engine in
yeah,
the front,
exactly.
You know, like the little joystick.
Shitty little Rotax 920 fucking buzzing away on top.
I tell you. Well, planes are cheap, are you actually, you know, for, can. Like, Dominican
Republic. Okay, I don't know what plane you're looking at.
Auto Trader.
Auto Trader. I'm pretty sure you're the wrong magazine.
I have a 1988 Plymouth Horizon with a couple wings stapled on it.
If you go fast enough and hit a bump,
exactly.
You might be able to
hey,
fly.
I'll tell you what. I worked at BP Jet Oil Refinery, and yeah. like all your commercial airplanes and shit like that, it doesn't. All they ever do is like when a plane comes in, they never change the oil. They just always top it off.
Yeah.
They never change it. The only one that changes all the oil is the government. Because like when we went in there, it, like a little quart of that shit is like $40 or some shit. And like
because it seeps out the seams and it gets burned off actually in the thing, so they just replenish.
But they
it.
Never ever change. They just top it off and boom, you're good for another few thousand miles.
Yeah.
Boom, you're never.
Because I mean, it never gets worn enough. It just seeps out.
But it just pisses me off that they can make an oil that can sustain all that for jet engines, and I got to take this fucking bullshit Cadillac in every 3,000 miles, and the timing chain on that thing, I've had that engine pull 3 times, and now the timing chain's still fucking stretching. It's only got fucking 90,000 miles on it now.
You got a fucking lemon, man.
But his wife bought it.
My wife bought it.
Well, your first mistake.
Yeah, I know, and I
last time I let my wife buy a car.
Exactly. I was in Buffalo, New York, and I said, look, just keep it like $400 a month, whatever, like that. And she walked in and said, well, my husband says, as long as we keep it at this, okay, a $20,000 car got jacked up like $30-something fucking thousand dollars instantly. I hate that fucking thing. Anybody out there in the I'll give you $1,000 if you burn this motherfucker.
I just bought a new car. I'm happy with it. Hey,
what is it? Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
It's a very nice car. Very nice car. Those got dents in it already because my wife drives it in the fucking ghetto and the people out there are like, goddamn.
Who cares? It's a fucking German. I think it'll last forever.
I gotta get the dentist taken out.
Just for clarity, that wasn't some random drug dealer or anything like that. That was just me getting rid of my Bears tickets for next weekend.
Nice. Oh, shit. You're serious. Bears?
Oh, no. We go to the Dominican every year, and they always play the 49ers on this week.
Is it Cleveland?
You see Humphreys again? Going to see Humphreys?
Going to the Dominican holidays.
What do you think about the ghetto in the Dominican?
Like I'm going to go there, bro.
What can you stay at the resort?
It's an all-inclusive resort. What the fuck am I going to do? Not drink all their beer?
Yeah.
That's like Puerto Rico. When I went to Puerto Rico, man, we stayed on this golf course, and like our townhouse was like right on the beach.
There's no Puerto Rico anymore, by the way.
I know. It all got freaking washed away.
I mean, this is a musical festival, though, so you kind of got to hang out to see all the fucking music.
What is Humphrey's actually? What kind of music do they play?
I would call it a
hippie jam band.
No, it's not that. I would call it progressive rock.
You would call it?
I would call it progressive rock with hints of
jazz.
With hints of motherfucking everything. With hints of metal sometimes, man.
Because they play a lot of freaking notes.
They have a lot of fucking metal elements as well, man. A lot of elements. I remember 2 years ago in Kalamazoo, they played my favorite song, Wizard Burial Ground. And the guitarist was like, this one here is for Dimebag. I've seen him like 8 times in this very place. Dimebag. He and went into the fucking heaviest song. I was just like, oh, yeah. It brought me back to Pantera White Zombie back in the day when we got dropped off as fucking little kids.
Yeah, my dad dropped. What, was my dad dropped us off?
Yeah, your dad dropped us off and my mom picked us up from the Rosemont Horizon then. It was Pantera White Zombie and Deftones was the opener.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I saw
of all the people I know, we're the only people who had floor tickets. Like Steve and them were up there.
I saw
was up,
Pantera at the Aragon Ballroom with Crowbar.
And Sean
Lennon. I got Jay Younger's guitar pick and yeah. Rex's bass pick from
I saw the one that, what was
and
it?
And I pissed on the floor right there because I was not leaving my spot.
Was it Cowboys from Hell Tour?
No,
it was.
Great Southern Tranquil.
Yeah, that was afterwards. I'm thinking the one I went to. It was at the Aragon Ballroom. And it was with Crowbar.
Yeah, Crowbar's
with Crowbar, yeah.
No, it was not. We sat there and we're sitting in line, and it was like a bunch of us. We're like 15 years old, and we're standing in line, and we're waiting. And some guy's like, "Hey, you want to smoke some weed or whatever it was?" And we're like, "Yeah." So we got like really fucking high with this guy, and then we saw some random guy in line. You know, we're so young and stupid. We're just smoking whatever this guy's got. So then we're sitting upstairs at the Aragon Ballroom for Crowbar, and we're like, boy, those guys are big, and they're going to eat their instruments because they're like a bunch of big guys,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, Crowbar's fucking stoner doom heavy.
But I remember, so it was in the intermission between Crowbar and Pantera. Some guy, he'd been screaming. He was up on the fucking balcony. He's like, Pantera, the whole time. And all of a sudden, so this my friend Chad and I, we went down on the floor because the other two guys were like, we're just going to stay up here. We're like, well, dude, fucking Pantera's playing. We're going to go down on the floor and go all the way up front.
Thank God.
We're 15. We're badasses.
Yeah, right.
Like, find me a good seat.
Right,
beer
no,
these days.
Thinking when I went to go see 6 Feet Under and I got in that mosh pit, came out and fucking I had braces on them. Fucking, I'm glad I had braces because my fucking teeth were all fucking knocked out.
It was wishful thinking, you know, we were kind of dumb. So we go down there. This guy jumped off the fucking balcony.
Damn.
He's like, Pantera! And jumps off the balcony. So then Chad and I were like, holy shit. Well, then the paramedics come rushing and stuff like that. Now, this guy, you can see his fucking femurs.
Ugh. Oh,
like,
what?
Sticking out. He's on a gurney. They're trying to keep him down, but he keeps getting up. This guy
Sam Pantera.
time he's
just
like
legs are breaking.
And we're like, dude, your fucking femurs are going sideways.
Yeah, when
you
this
know?
Adrenaline wears off, you are going to be in a world
what?
Of
no,
fucking pain.
No, once the PCP wears off, you're going to, yeah, exactly. It was just like, whoa. And then I got all the way up front of that show. I've been to a million hardcore shows. I've been to a million metal shows. I've been to, just all this shit. That was probably the show that I got beat the fuck out of the most
it's
out of any other show.
I'm sure
that's
gnarly. You can pass that beer to him. He needs something. Woo!
It's tough, isn't it?
Oh, it's a little rough.
Because I remember sitting there.
He's like, I love it. He's
and we both got up front. And I mean, I was like right up against the stage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Phil Anselmo was literally spitting on me, fucking, you know, sitting there, you know, and I'm just like, this is great, until I got out of there. And then I was like, I've been in a garbage compactor for the last 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. My ears like rang hell. For 3 fucking days.
Oh, yep.
It was I'll never brutal.
Forget greatest fucking time of my life.
Remember it when they opened up? They opened up the
Suicide Note
Part 1, and right then they dropped the curtain. Wow. So badass.
The only band that I never heard for 3 days was Ministry.
Yeah, he got to see Ministry, man, back when they weren't even fucking cool, man. When they did, like, what was it?
I went with an ex-girlfriend. Every day is Halloween.
Every day.
Like, I saw him at the Radisson.
Yeah. Oh, you saw him at the Radisson back in the day? Have you seen the YouTube video? They released a YouTube video.
There's a video called In Case You Didn't Feel Like Showing Up.
Yeah.
Okay. And on there.
You were there?
You can see
God damn, you lucky son of a bitch.
You can see you hanging?
You can see a 12, 13-year-old kid hanging
from
the chain link fence up front.
Damn.
Because I was like, it was the second show I'd ever been to.
So was Beal there? I'm just kidding.
Beal wasn't there. I went with a bunch of guys who were older than me, and they're like, oh, we're going to go see Ministry.
Yeah, I didn't even know who Ministry was.
Fucking Ministry tickets were like $70 fucking dollars.
I didn't know who Ministry was.
I didn't either. I was still like listening to like Anthrax and Metallica and all that kind of stuff like that, and they're like, we're going to go see Ministry. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And so for some reason, my mom was like, oh, I trust them. I'll let you go with them or whatever it is. And we went to the Radisson Star.
That shit's on YouTube.
And she's like, and my mom's thinking, you know, Radisson, you know.
Yeah, well, it's going to be family friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Ministry, you know, some Christian band.
Or like, you know, some Willie Nelson-esque bullshit or whatever it is. I will tell you what, I am on that video,
and if you
look
shit.
At one point when they pan the camera around, you will see a petrified 13-year-old kid hanging on his chain link fence going, I'm going to die.
That is awesome.
You might.
I'm going to have to go watch that video again.
Yes.
That was
because they released it.
I had it back when I was in high school because I'd make fun of my friends. I'd be like, no, well, there I YouTube, am right dude. There. What's on YouTube? Now, I have the video at home.
I mean, well, you lived it. Why are you fucking?
Yeah, right. Why would you?
But they released it later on because it was called In Case You Didn't Feel Like Showing Up, you know, on VHS. And I remember we played it, and I'd be like, there I am right there. Look at that fucking retard right there. It's a 13-year-old kid going, I'm going to die the whole time.
It was. I was scared for like the first 10 minutes of Pantera, and I was like, I'm good. You know, I got busted up a little bit.
My first three shows. The first three shows.
I was only like 3 rows behind you, but I just couldn't make it my way past there.
The first 3 shows I ever went to were Ministry.
Awesome.
It was Clash of the Titans tour with Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Alice in Chains opening.
I'm not mad at any of that.
Alice in Chains was terrible, by the way, at that thing.
Love Megadeth,
because
Megadeth, I was Megadeth.
Megadeth was terrible. Not bad, because...
fucked up at that time?
No. Oh. I liked Megadeth. They played well, but the sound was really fucked up at the time. They were having problems with the sound. Right. But Anthrax was great, but then Slayer came on.
You know what sucks is when you spend $600 to see fucking Tool, you drive to fucking Detroit, and the sound's fucking horrible.
Hey, you know what's nice? When you spend $15 to see Humphries, and the sound's amazing anywhere they go every time. Yeah.
Well, this was an Alpine Valley, and then
like $15 ticket for that. This shit was like $60 on that one.
Well, so this was the Clash of the Titans thing. So then Slayer gets on, and the sun was starting to go down because it started earlier, you know, type of thing. And all of a sudden, they opened up because it was Seasons in the Abyss tour. They opened up with War Ensemble, and all of a sudden, from the lawn area where I was at, sod filled the sky.
And
the sky went black, and all there was sod everywhere, type of thing. Oh, yeah. And then the third concert I went to was Ministry again, and the Psalm 69 tour
with
Sepultura and Helmet.
Oh, fuck, dude.
At UIC Pavilion.
I remember listening to that disc on Walkmans in elementary school with you, like when we were in sixth grade or something. No, we were in high school, I think we were in middle school.
So the first 3 concerts I went to were all like these like complete shitstorms, like where you're just like, holy shit. And I never wanted anything less after
that's a good way to get into it.
It was. I never wanted anything less after that.
My first concert was a Q101 Jamboree. And the it was me, McAndrew, and Manny.
No, I went with you with something.
We've been to several concerts together.
I went to one with you, and then I left in a limo with all the chicks.
Damn, what concert was that? And why the fuck didn't you take me?
Daniel Hallman was there, and like all them other...
Oh, I don't think I was there, man.
I went to one of them fucking concerts.
Maybe we were at the same show but different groups or something like that.
Maybe.
But I mean, the only thing that saved this show was Faith No More was the closer. So it was like, okay, well that's a real concert. But I also had to see Sheryl Crow.
That had to have been like 95 or 96.
Yeah. It was Q101 95 Jamboree. Yeah.
Because I saw Korn 14.
And shit.
I saw Faith No More.
Korn was like two Jamborees after.
At the Brawl Room in 92, it was Angel Dust tour
that they played.
Was it 95 or 96? After that, I kind of fell off the wagon.
Was it 95? 95 was like Funk Junkies, like Stone Roses, Sheryl Crow.
Stone Roses are good.
Stone Roses were like second to last, and they were not bad. Yeah, they were not bad. But then Faith No More came on. I'm like, oh shit, now this is a
concert. You know what's fucked up, dude?
This is my patent right here. And then I went out and bought every fucking disc I saw from Faith No More. I was like, oh, I need that, I need that, I need that, I need that.
I just saw them 2 years
ago. I dropped hundreds of dollars to go see Foo Fighters and Champagne like a couple weeks ago. And the worst part was, like, the fucking opening band was better than the fucking Foo Fighters.
Oh, you get that a lot of times in bottom. Like, especially a lot of those super popular bands.
I don't know. Some band from fucking Britain, man. They put on a fucking hell of a show.
Portugal and the Man?
No. Love them fuckers, too. They're from Alaska. Dude lived off the grid forever.
Sounds awesome.
Like, literally lived off the fucking grid. Like, his dad, like, went to Woodstock and then fucking decided, fuck it, this ain't the way to live, and went up to Alaska, and they fucking had no power, none of that shit, and they fucking did it. And then the guy writes lyrics that are fucking phenomenal. And then now they got this fucking Poppy album that everybody's fucking obsessed with, and it's just like, you guys suck.
Yeah. Get ready to, instead of seeing him at the Rib, now you're going to have to go to the Aragon or the
I took my daughter to go see him. We went to the Ghetto in fucking Detroit, and there was like 100 fucking people at the fucking show. And this is like in February this year. And then freaking we go to, I took the wife to the Vic. The Rib. Get your fucking air conditioning fixed.
Last year I went there was in December 29th, so I was cool on
I
air.
Went there, and I took the old lady there, and she like
saw
that.
I saw Guar at the Vic.
So they went from like some ghetto.
Oh, were you upstairs?
Place. Yeah, if you're upstairs, you're
fucked in the Rib or the
Vic.
Well,
if I go downstairs, there's 100 other motherfuckers that got my body heat and fucked.
Well,
shit.
But all the heat rises, man.
I got the wife there, you know, she ain't gonna be up in the fucking.
Last time I was at the Riviera, I was upstairs too. I was seeing Ride, and we just sat there and watched a fucking shoegazer band from upstairs, so.
Not right.
And now they're playing at the Aragon, and I don't know, they're moving.
It's one of my guilty pleasures in life.
What's everybody's next concert they're going to?
Chevelle,
where at?
Grand Rapids, love Grand Rapids, much respect.
Where are you going to the new fucking venue?
20 Monroe Live.
20 Monroe, new live.
Been there five fucking times.
God damn, it's only been
open
like 3 months. What the fuck?
I know. I love that fucking place. Sounds good. Good fucking beer. Good people, man. Great fucking downtown.
I'm pissed off because Corey Feldman was supposed to play at fucking Hot Shots.
I know. Until he got busted.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Now he's got.
Don't forget about the Angels.
Now he's got a crowd.
Dude, I just want to see that Train Wreck in Progress. That was like voted one of the worst albums ever of all time.
Did you see him on that fucking, like when he did Today's Show?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I just want to see the Train Wreck.
I know. I sent you the fucking link.
Yeah, I was supposed to go.
You got anything lined up?
My next show would either probably be Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh,
hell yeah!
You're bringing it in. I was going to talk
seen
about Smoking Grooves.
15 times. I've seen Earth, Wind & Fire like 4 times. I love them. I know that's a little bit different than the music you guys are talking about, but that's my thing.
How about the Smoking Grooves tour?
I think my first concert was with this guy. I think
really?
that was
your
one of my
first
shows. I didn't go to a show until I was like 15 or 16.
Cypress Hill, The Roots.
Yeah.
That was a badass show. Parliament Funkadelic. Dude, yeah. Smoking Grooves tours were awesome. And then we went to the other one with all the other people, Steve and Jeff, and someone got stabbed.
Yeah.
Someone got stabbed. And we were one of the first people probably... One of the first 100,000 to see the Black Eyed Peas, probably.
Yeah.
When they had Maya instead of Fergie.
They didn't have Maya. We saw
Maya. They performed together.
To this day, Maya is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in person.
She's a sexy chick, man.
Fergie's like
a
sexy
chick.
I would have never guessed that. And I've seen Maya, too.
Maya is gorgeous.
Our Smoking Grooves tours were fun, dude. How about the one was at, like, the nice pavilion place, and the next one was, like, in the fucking ghetto.
Hood,
like, in the hood.
I like the ghetto places, dude.
Yeah, it was fun. Except
like
when someone got stabbed,
there,
I was like,
your fucking
hey.
Feet are like...
Last show I was at was Quicksand. I took the daughter to go see that, so that was pretty good.
Yeah? They still play?
Yeah, they just put out a new album. They were fucking good live, man. Mm-hmm. They were really good live.
I doubt it.
They just got a new album coming out.
Quicksand?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just came out here a couple weeks ago or whatever.
Because I got, I keep getting advertisements, because I like them, and I keep getting advertisements on their new album coming out.
Yeah, they were great live. They were only down to a...
Because they haven't done it in, like, forever.
Yeah. This is, like, 95 since they put out an album.
Sure, that sounded good.
I'm glad somebody could put out an album in 10 years.
Right?
Fuck you, Maynard.
Oh, well, so Tool is, you know, Maynard and
hey. No, Maynard, hey, you're going to have to give me $100 to come see your ass again.
Hey. You know what the problem is? We've just seen it too many goddamn times.
No.
I bet you, like, first or second
the problem
timers,
is
like, oh.
The problem is I saw you when you actually, like, actually fronted a band and put on a fucking show. And
so now he's going through the motions.
So now I just go there to watch music videos. Basically. And I have a fucking blacked out thing where they play music and I watch music videos and psychedelic stuff.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I'm sorry.
What was your best concert ever, Xander? What do you think?
When you guys were talking about Rosemont Horizon, I know this isn't your guys' brand of vodka, but...
No, it's all good.
Ryan Beale and I were on the floor for Tribe Called Quest opening
oh,
for the...
Awesome!
Opening for the Beastie Boys.
Hell
nice.
Yeah.
Tribe Called Quest, their name wasn't even on the ticket.
What was his name? Fifth or something from Tribe Called
Quest?
Fife, yeah.
And...
I love
man.
Tribe Called Quest.
Dude, I know you guys have been to mosh pits and stuff. I weighed... This is 1997, 98... I weighed 180 pounds, about 50 less than I do now. Beale protected me during that show. There was times when my feet were not on the ground for 30 seconds. I wasn't used to that.
I've never seen the Beastie Boys. That'd be the shit.
I saw them, and I saw them at Tibetan Freedom. They're wicked. I'm a fan for life.
Well, obviously.
I listened to them for years.
Always been. You might have turned me on to the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, they're wicked. I'm stealing. So, that's probably my top show. You guys were also talking about Radisson. Where my mom
sad.
Retired from. You guys, by the way, mentioned.
Just saw Buddy Guy.
They're turning it down.
Yeah.
End of this year.
My mom retired from the Radisson, and
that
my
sucks.
Mom, my dad retired from Nipsco, which you guys mentioned earlier in a negative connotation. But I saw George Clinton there with my dad, one of the coolest concerts
no,
of
bet,
my
dude.
Time.
I remember
third
Nipsco
row.
In your front yard.
I know shit about P-Funk and all that. George Clinton.
Dude, you got.
They
George
brought down
Clinton
that mothership.
Facebook?
I was like, what the fuck's
yeah.
going on?
It's fucking hilarious, dude.
Man. Oh, man. You know, he was born in like 1943, so he doesn't have
I
much
know.
Tours left in him.
I just saw Buddy Guy over there, and he's like 80-something years old, and people were getting thrown out of the concert for being too rowdy.
I believe it.
I was like, holy shit, dude. It was a great fucking show. Like, Kenny Wayne Shepherd opened up, which sucked. I mean, like, I was like, oh my God, here we go. And then, like, Buddy Guy came out and made it all fucking right. Dude, like, literally, he came down, dude, he was playing a fucking song, talking about screwing women and stuff like that, and dude, like, literally is right there playing a fucking guitar, and just, god damn, he says, don't blame me, I didn't write the fucking lyrics, you know what he's going on.
What's your favorite, what's your best show ever? Can you pinpoint a best show ever?
Best show ever. God damn, that's hard.
I think I do. Yeah,
I've been to quite a few really good shows, like...
Just if you had to pick one, and even though it's not like your ultimate, you know, you don't have to internalize this for the rest of your life, but off the top of your head, what's your best?
We're not going to hold you to it.
Your favorite.
My favorite. Man, you know, the last time I saw fucking Faith No More here, like after they got the reunion when they came back and they, there was something about it, like.
Well, speaking of Faith No More, I mean, the original singer's dead.
Well, yeah. Well, he's not the original singer. He's the second singer. But when they got back together here, they did Soul Invictus or whatever it was.
It's a good album.
Like, there was something, like, when I saw them back in the 90s when they did Angel Dust and stuff like that, you know, like, on that tour. It was good, but, like, this time around, they really seemed like they were actually enjoying themselves. And it was like just this really powerful.
Not going through the motions.
They weren't going through the motions. They were out there like they were all
we're energized,
like,
by a new album, you know.
Like it was just, it was like a wall of sound that hit me, and I'm just like, damn, this is really fucking good. Like because they were playing stuff from every album, you know. They were going on and they were doing stuff, and I'm just like, they were playing some of my favorite songs, and you know, like, which are not like the.
I know.
Popular
I know.
Tracks,
right,
you know, like
right,
King
right.
for a Day, they played that, and they
exactly.
played, you know, like The Real Thing and stuff like that, which were like their long, you know, 8-minute epic songs, you know, type, you know, anthemic songs and stuff like that. And I was just like, this is fucking great, man. You know, and I had some good friends around me. You know, I took my wife to see it. You know, my good friend Eric, who I've been friends with for fucking decades, you know. Him and I, you know,
total we both,
and he brought his wife, Cerny and I went, you know, it was Cerny, his wife, and my wife and I, we all went to see this. And I just remember sitting there just fucking awestruck the whole time, because it was just, it was such a solid, good show. Like it was like, they were up there, like, doing it because they wanted to.
Right.
Rather than because a record label was like,
yeah,
you know, you need to promote your album, you need to do this, or you need to make
like
money.
Probably when I saw them at the Jamboree for the first time.
Right, yeah, you know, but I mean, even in like when I saw them on Angel Dust, there was all this contention with their guitar player, and you could tell they were all kind of doing their own thing. Whereas, like, this time they were all like, there was a lot of interaction between everybody, and every song had this like just booming like resonance to it that you were just going, wow, everybody was just so fucking into it. And they were pounding out all these tunes like it was the last time they were going to. It just, it felt really good. It was probably one of the most, I guess, impactful shows I've been to in a long time.
See, I'm Keith, a big, like I'm a big fan of bands. Like, when you go see their shows, they, like, thank the fans.
Yeah.
Like, I have much respect. Like, if I see a band...
That's why he hates Tool now.
I fucking hate them sometimes.
Well, it's not even thanking them, like, just going out, like, and sit there and saying, oh, thank you, everybody, for being here.
No, like, when I
you can tell
I
when a band plays... Like, that they are, like, on stage going, we're fucking happy to be here. We're having a good time. And
exactly.
As people enjoy it, they're getting more into it. Mm-hmm. And you're just going, there's, like, this, like...
So, basically, Umphrey's McGee. Yeah.
Okay. There's, like, this weird symbiotic thing going on where you're going, you know, as the crowd gets more into it, they get more into it. And everybody just gets, like, you're just, like, thank you for doing this. You know, you just like, injected this little ounce of joy into my life that, you know, through music, you know, through this wonderful sound that you guys are producing. And it was just, and even my wife was like, and she's not, you know, she likes Faith No More, but she's not like the biggest Faith No More fan like I am. She was just like, wow, that was such a good fucking show. And I'm just like, yeah, it was. It was just certain songs when they would play certain ones that they normally wouldn't. And all of a sudden this wall of sound would come across the fucking, you know, place. And you're just like going, holy shit, that is powerful.
What's your best? What do you think your best is? Your favorite? I know it's tough. What do you think?
Oh, I liked Rammstein. I liked Pantera
White Zombie is, man, it's top five for sure.
Yeah, oh, definitely top five. I mean, I liked Tool when I saw them with Ozfest when they came out. Was half naked, blue and red.
He had like some boxers on,
and
half painted white, half painted
freaking,
like
twitching type shit. Like, I don't know. I saw Pussifer. I like Pussifer because, you know, he did his fucking thing, but I wouldn't put it as my top fucking one. I like Peter Pan Speed Rock because there was only like 24 of us at the fucking show and I got to fucking hang out with everybody.
What was it called?
Peter Pan Speed Rock's a band from Amsterdam. Love those motherfuckers for like 10 years, and then like they've only been in the U.S. like 2 years, and they came to the U.S. and like I was in Detroit and I was like, fuck yeah. So I took like all the guys I work with, because tickets were like $7, so fucking I bought everybody tickets. I said, let's go fucking have a good time. And then like I had all these hotel points because I traveled and everything like that, and they didn't have any fucking rooms, so I said, okay man, I got extra fucking points, I'll hook you guys up with rooms. And then, like, I talked to their tour manager, and he's like, well, what about Mono Generator? Now, Mono Generator is, like, Nick Oliveri fan from Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, well, fuck Mono Generator. And then, like, I realized, like, but then, like, Nick Oliveri comes out, and I was like, holy fuck, dude, this thing called. So then, like, I don't know, we were smoking weed and all sorts of shit, drinking beer, and, like, so I hooked everybody up with a hotel room that night in Detroit, and I guess his dad helped build the Detroit Stadium. So, like, you know, he's got his dad's name on a brick over there and everything like that. So, they crashed at the hotel. We partied until about 3, 4 in the fucking morning. Got fucking annihilated. I mean, just trashed. And so, the next night, we went out. They were playing in Chicago. I brought my daughter with me. It was supposed to be, like, all ages, and everyone was all ages. So they snuck us in backstage. She was, like, all in awe, you know. But it was so cool because, like, my daughter's, like, talking about, like she's, like, friends with, or she likes Foo Fighters and stuff like that. So Nick gets on the phone and calls Dave Grohl and has my daughter talk to Dave fucking Grohl.
That's cool.
And then like, you know, you got all these guys talking about how, like, oh, dude, your dad's fucking cool, you know, blah, 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 and shit like that. And she's like, yeah, I know. But then, like, these guys from Max Sabbath, I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's like Black Sabbath, but McDonald's style.
Yeah,
like furry.
So I've seen a bunch of videos with them. They're fucking hilarious.
I know. Okay, so these guys are here, and we're all backstage. And, like, the bouncer wouldn't let my daughter in because she was, like, 15, so they let us in the backstage, threw some T-shirts on. And, like, so we're setting up all the equipment, you know. They got the orange amps, you know. They're big on that fuzz, you know, that heavy. So they're setting up all the amps, my daughter's helping, we're helping them set all their shit up on stage and everything like that, and then the bouncer that wouldn't let her in, she just gave him the finger, and, you know, we went on, and then the guys from Max Sabbath, and, like, my daughter's in the back, she's like, Dad, I think we need to go, they're all doing cocaine.
That's the reason.
We got all sorts of free T-shirts, free CDs, man, and just like pictures and autographs.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
They signed my guitar. Well, then, like, Big Shots right here, you know, Super Joint played here, so Phil and Samo was there over there. We come up there, so, like, I start getting people to sign this guitar and everything, and then. Man, I got to hang out with Phil, smoked a joint with him in the parking lot. I said, hey, man, you want to go sign the guitar too, add your name to it? So I got, like, Phil and Nick, and I got all the guys from Amsterdam, and, like, if I ever get the fucking, I got all these guys' phone numbers, man.
You see Maynard's autograph now.
I don't know. You can't get that autograph, dude. I even went to the stupid vineyard.
Another good shot was
paid $100 for a fucking bottle of wine. It wasn't even that
when they got great. When they got back with Joey Belladonna, you know, with their original, you know, Joey.
I got to talk with Matt McJunkins about that shit that happened in France.
Oh,
the shooting
sure, yeah.
When they were playing with Eagles of Death Metal. Yeah. Because, he was...
But the Anthrax show at the Congress, they had just... Congress sucks. I hate the fucking Congress with a passion. It's a shithole. It's just... The security there is a bunch of shit. They're assholes. But they got up there, they were playing with Testament and... was it Death Angel? Was one of those bands, but like you could tell Joey was like so excited to be playing again with Anthrax, like in a weird way, like because they had kicked him out, you know, back in the 90s, and then they played a couple reunion shows with them or whatever, but they did this new album with them, and he was like by far the best singer for Anthrax, like, and he was probably one of the best singers of the 80s for like metal bands in general. And he comes out there, and I mean, it was just such a great show that
That's
they just
you,
fucking
buddy.
Hammered out. That was another really, really good fucking show, man. They're playing all the old tunes like fucking I Am the Law and, you know, Indians and Be All End All and shit. You're just like...
Anthrax, good shit.
God damn it.
Never got an Anthrax. I was more of a Merciful Fate kind of guy.
There you go. You know, there's nothing wrong with Merciful Fate.
Love
yeah.
King Diamond.
I like King Diamond, too.
Glad you're back touring after your stroke.
But I was always a big Anthrax fan, and just to see them with that lineup.
I did do a shot with Scott Ian at O'Hare.
There you go.
I got off the fucking plane, and I was like, oh, dude, you're fucking Scott Ian. He's like, yeah, I know. I was like, hey, man, you mind if we get to drink a beer or whatever, man? He's like, man, I ain't got much time.
I did get to meet Henry Rollins one time.
Oh, dude,
which,
much respect.
It was at Michigan City Library, okay? Oh, right, this is all weird places. So it was after Black Flag, and it was he had started Rollins' band. He was doing it was when he first started doing his spoken word stuff. And I was in this band called
I was
in this band with a bunch of guys, and they're like, oh, we're gonna go see, you know, Rollins do his spoken word shit, you know, and he's gonna be at the Michigan City Library doing this. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. So we went there. And I'm not the kind of person who wants to hunt down people, wants to go follow people around to get autographs and stuff. I'm kind of like, nah, I don't want to bother anybody. And so, like, behind the library, there's, like, a couple halls and stuff, you know, like, hallways and stuff. So I went and sat on this fucking, banquet table. I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and they all went the other way. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm just sitting with my head down, just like, do-do-do-do-do-do, waiting, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up, and he's like, what are you doing over here, you know? And I'm just like, and I look up, and it's fucking Henry Rollins standing right in front of me. And I'm just like, I'm waiting for my friends because they went to go chase you down. You know, like, and that's exactly what I said. I said they're gonna go, they're going to chase you down to get an autograph or whatever it is. And he's like, well, why didn't you go with them? And I'm like, because I,
you're here.
Because I don't like to like chase people down. I'm just minding my own business, you know, type of thing. And he's like, he talked to me for like 20 fucking minutes. Like, and, yeah. And it was weird because he goes. He's like, well, he's like, you know, yeah. He's like, you know, well, what'd you think? You know, stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was fucking great. You know, and I said, I don't mind to be like, I don't want to be like one of those people. But I'm like, you're like a fucking idol in the whole, you know, like punk rock scene and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, whatever. You know, like he was just like really like.
Normal fucking.
Like, whatever. He's like, let's get off of that. And he's like, let's talk about you. And I'm like, what do you want to know about me? And he's like, just talk about you. Where'd you grow up? What'd you do? You know, what's your life or whatever it was.
Seems like that kind
and
of guy.
So he's...
It's like Buzz from the Melvins, man. Yeah, he was fucking cool as hell to me.
He sat there like going, you know, where'd you grow up? Where'd you go? You know, where'd you go to school at? Blah, blah, blah. And like literally like questioned me. So I'm like, I have Henry Rollins sitting here questioning me about like...
Got interviewed.
What my life is. And I'm just like, this is so fucking weird. And then he goes, you know what? He's like, come here. So he takes me like around the corner and he's like, you want to piss your friends off? And I said, sure. He's like, okay. He's like, there's a bunch of stuff back here, you know, like a bunch of promo stuff and, you know, shit like that. He's like, I'm going to sign like
all of it,
like a bunch of stuff for you. He's like, I'll just give you this shit. And he's like, and then he goes, you know what? Don't give any of it to your friends. He's like, just sit here and be like, because he's like, they're not going to find me. He's like, because I'm going out that door over there, as long as you don't say anything. And I said, okay. So he signed, like, CDs, shirt, all this shit. And he's like, here you go. He's like, just take a bunch of this stuff or whatever it was. I come walking out back out with a bag, and my friends are like, oh, man, we missed him. You know, they said, you know, we missed him and stuff like that. And then I look out, and I'm like, well, I got to meet him. They're like, what the fuck? And I bought this bag. I got all kinds of signed shit. Look, give me some. I'm like, nope. No. It was fucking great. He was like one of the most like down-to-earth people I've like it was just weird. He was just like, I don't want to talk about me. Yeah. You know? And it was really cool. It was just
probably talked a lot about that, you know.
And it was just cool. He's like questioning me. That's cool. I'm just some tard who goes to Portage High School and like tries to stay out of people's ways.
Well, that's an accurate description, at least. No, I'm just kidding. What do you think? Anything else we need to add to this?
Keith, best concert?
Best concert for you, yeah.
Best venue would have been Riverbend Coliseum in Ohio, but that was Dave Matthews, and a lot of people hate him.
Oh, we can forgive you
but
for
best
that.
Concert was Garbage at Aragon Ballroom.
Garbage?
Garbage at Aragon Ballroom.
I know, I've never seen him.
I like Shirley Manson.
I'm in. I was only had out of brains, man. I heard an interview with her. She's actually pretty fucking cool.
I just hadn't heard that. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, Garbage in a while.
Yeah.
Didn't you get to meet like the bass player, like Hole and shit? And...
Oh, no, you're right. Okay,
they
that was
got a
really
needle
good
sticking
one.
Out of their arm, and you know.
No, that was a really good concert.
You go to the show conventions all.
No, time. So what happened was I worked downtown once, and there was a little crappy Chicago magazine that said if you apply, you can win. To go to this concert. So it was literally in somebody's loft, and it was the redheaded girl from Hole was doing artwork. So it was like literally like us hanging out in a garage, basically. And it was all you could drink. Like, I got a picture of me and her just drinking old style. And like, her artwork was like at auction and stuff. My wife got so drunk she puked in the bathroom. Like, you're right, that was a better one, now that you reminded me. Because, like, never again will I be invited to, like, that private of a, like, an event.
Yeah.
That was cool. Okay. Plus, Melissa Auf-Demaerer is super hot. The redheaded chick from Hole, Smashing Pumpkins, that what replaced the blonde, crackheaded, whatever, bassist or whatever it was.
Oh, Darcy.
Yeah.
Darcy, yeah.
She replaced Darcy. So she's like on the newer albums, well, but then they replaced her again with someone else. But either way, yeah, you're right, that was the best. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Dude, that you've met all sorts of people in like them conventions.
Well, those are horror conventions.
The mother from Seventh Heaven.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I go to a lot of horror movie conventions. So like I got a picture with the mom was there from Chucky Child's Play. So I go, can I get